Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Show number 461. I'm Amy Matheny in the United States of America, joined by...
I cut you off from Canada. There must be a delay. There's a four-second delay, little known fact, between Canada and the U.S. No, that's not true. And I'm Deb Pierce, and I didn't know we were recording, so I'm just going to get it all out. Chip this fuck, cock, sucker, motherfucker, tits. Okay.
Woo! Whee! Hello, Deb Pierce, back from the wide and far yonder.
That is me, my friend. Happy spring fever. Isn't it gorgeous out?
It's gorgeous. Is it gorgeous in Canada, in Toronto?
Oh, it's even more gorgeous.
Yeah?
Well, I'm just feeling competitive. I don't know. It's warm. It's warm. It's sunny. My shovel is about to go into my basement, and that is commitment.
Yeah. In early mid-March, which is crazy.
Right.
So you have been away... Fans of the show and avid listeners of the show know you have been away because you have had a wonderful little addition to your life and family in baby Jack. And so we have been with you and congratulating you. And we were on baby watch before Jack was born. How is baby Jack doing? When was he born? Tell us the stats. And
Wow, life-changing. I've missed you, for one thing, so
yes.
It's good to be back, and I'm exhausted, so I hope I'm coherent. He was born at 1:45 p.m. on December 3rd after, we don't need to count the hours of labor, but let's just say they call it labor for a reason.
Ugh.
It's work. And I had a C-section, and he came out 8:12, and he is and was as healthy then as he is today, and he is growing like a weed. He's in the 95th percentile for height, which means he's long, and he's in the 65th percentile for weight, so he's just sort of right at the cusp of being a perfect weight. So things are great, and my wife and I thought we were close before, and we're just even closer now when I'm not being all hormonal on her and being completely... difficult to live with, and then just blaming it on my hormones, which is awesome. I don't know how long that will last, but
so,
I'm working it until then.
Hey, I think that's what you should do. I mean, you went through labor for umpteen hours, so So you had no meds in the labor?
I did. I actually I was induced at they tried an induction in the morning and it didn't take, so I literally walked around the streets of Toronto and sat down and watched Young and the Restless with my best friend and my wife. Went back the Friday night and had an induction and started dilating right away. For the men or people that are squeamish involved, please don't turn off your podcast. I started to dilate. Yep, I quoted an Ani DiFranco album too. Things started getting worse and worse as far as pain and contractions, and I waited until 3 a.m. and got an epidural. So
Amen.
that was good.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, I didn't need to be a hero, but I needed to experience labor.
Yep.
And now I can certainly say that I did, but I ain't no hero, and I chose numb legs instead.
Yes. There you go.
Fine.
I approve. So now we discussed when you got pregnant and told us you were pregnant, and leading up to it, you know, you had a way of joking about, isn't it weird when butches have babies? And
yeah.
And are there any interesting thing about being a butch and having a baby that, you know, happened with you along the pregnancy and up to the birth?
Well, you know, there's been a few local, Toronto being local, articles done on my pregnancy just because of my drag kinging since 1993. So there is a bit of a dichotomy that I've been dealing with my public persona as being a drag king, certainly not trans-identified, but a drag king. And then going through this process, it felt, there was something that felt obviously innately female about it, and now breastfeeding is really, you know, calling upon the attention of my breasts. So I feel like as soon as I stop breastfeeding, I'll start to get what I've been affectionately calling my butch cred back.
Yeah.
Because there's something that you lose your butch credibility a little bit when your nipples start to leak and you remember that in your nursing bra, you haven't placed your nursing pads.
Oh,
so, I can feel as butch as I want, but there's something innately feminine about needing to put something in your bra.
Yeah. Well, you had always said, though, that you wanted to be a mother, right?
Absolutely. I wanted to be. I've known that I was going to be a parent. I didn't know to what capacity. I didn't know that I would actually be the birth mom. I thought maybe as the time went on and I kind of, you know, I hadn't found, you know, my life partner or whatever at the time, I thought maybe I'll just get in a relationship with somebody with kids or adopt or something like that. But yeah, this time last year I was 7 days pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 'Cause he is how old now?
He'll be 15 weeks. I'm still doing weeks because it makes him feel younger. He's 15 weeks on Saturday. So,
oh my gosh.
It's amazing and it's exhausting and it's wonderful and I can't stop staring at him and I don't want to do anything and I see the dishes pile up because all I want to do is stare at him and put my nose up to his mouth and smell his exhale. I'm just in love.
Yeah. Oh, well, we are in love and happy for you. And
thank
obviously,
you.
Now, how is being a mom going to impact your work in the community? And, you know, coming up to summer and lots of events and you do tons of hosting. And how have you and Leanne discussed all of that?
It's not going to change it because she knows that absolutely feeds my heart. So I will be doing all the things that I've ever done. I've started to shoot Focus with Deb Pierce again. I've been doing some intros and extras, not quite the interviews, but I've been going and doing the show throws and then the outlines of the show. And in fact, Jack made his debut for my first show back. Yeah, it was very cute. And he actually started to, because he's a genius, obviously.
Yes,
he started
and he's your
to,
child.
To mumble. I mean, I call it talking.
Yes.
He probably had gas. But the point is, he made noise when I said his name. So obviously a genius. So I'm slowly working my way into that, and Pride is coming up. I've already got myself booked for some of the surrounding Toronto area prides, and then Pride Toronto, obviously being the end of June. Nobody's approached me yet, but I'm hoping they will. And and then of course I want to, seeing as we're talking about Pride, I want to mention that Toronto is hosting World Pride in 2014 for those of you who are planners. It'll be in 2014, so it would be great to have all of our American friends come up and support that.
Why do you look at me when you say, for those of you who are planners, come on. Are you calling me anal? Are you calling me anal retentive?
Listen, if the shoe fits, kick yourself with it is what I always
true.
Say.
That's true. That's true. Well, something a little closer to home that I'm going to set my TiVo for, it was just announced that Saturday Night Live is going to be hosted by Sofia Vergara from Modern Family on April 7th. And I just have to say, I'm definitely planning on that, but I don't plan as far out nowadays. But now I may have to plan World Pride too. But
you might have to. We have to see each other face to face again. And how funny is she? I love her character, and I love her. I saw her on Ellen, and she allows herself to really not be taken too seriously, and I love that about her.
Oh, she's so pretty, and she's so funny, and it's a lethal combination. But she is, I adore her. I think she's, I think she is a real deal comedian, and I'm excited to see how she does on Saturday Night Live. I actually think she's going to be really freaking fantastic. So
I agree.
Plus, she'll just look good. So there's that.
Did you see that where Ellen said, who do you think has more fun, blondes or brunettes, on her show? Do you know what her answer was?
I don't remember.
The one with the bigger boobs.
There you go. But I'm
yeah. I love it.
She's probably having a lot of fun then.
Yeah.
Girl is got that swimsuit body. It's funny, though, that she was a blonde, you know, and she couldn't get hired. And then she dyes her hair brunette, which... you know, she wears in the show, and she gets Modern Family. So
there it is.
It's hilarious. I love it.
Best show ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I haven't been as excited about watching Saturday Night Live since Helen Mirren was on and I was at the taping. So I'm pretty excited about it. Should be a good time. Well, hey, Deb and I have lots of things to discuss because she's been away. We're going to talk about some hot topics and, also, the death of the voice, Whitney Houston. So, this and more, GLBT News on the way with me and Kirk.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. More than 100,000 people have joined Freedom to Work President Tico Almeida's campaign on change.org, urging President Obama to sign an executive order banning anti-gay discrimination among federal contractors. Almeida started the petition to call attention to the millions of workers at U.S. federal contractors who could be fired from their jobs because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. More than 16 million workers with federal contractors are currently unprotected from anti-gay discrimination in the workplace.
Three Iowa Supreme Court justices who were ousted in the 2010 judicial retention vote will receive the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award in May. This is the highest and most prestigious award that can be bestowed upon public servants and was created to celebrate political courage.
Lesbian New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn will marry fiancé Kim Cattullo on May 19th. Quinn, a 2013 mayoral frontrunner, sent out save-the-date cards recently in the style of vintage subway maps.
In Pennsylvania, the GOP-controlled state house killed a proposed bill, HB 1434, that would ban same-sex marriage. Equality Pennsylvania thanked legislators for terminating the measure, which it called mean-spirited and nonsensical.
Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam has said he wishes the Don't Say Gay bill would go away, even though members of his own party proposed it. Last year, Haslam predicted the measure would not pass. However, the state Senate approved it even though the House ran out of time.
Officials of the University of California system have proposed asking incoming freshmen to identify their sexual orientation. The Academic Senate of the University of California system initiated the proposal to ensure that services are provided for LGBT students. Illinois' Elmhurst College announced last year that it would ask students about their sexual orientation on its admissions application, making it the first college believed to make that move.
In Chicago, Alderman Proco Joe Moreno has introduced an ordinance to City Council aimed at easing problems within the Chicago Police Department, or CPD, in handling transgender detainees. Moreno introduced the ordinance March 14th after nearly 2 years of advocacy by local transgender activists. The ordinance would mandate that CPD adopt a policy for handling transgender detainees and would create oversight by the city's Human Relations and Public Safety Committee.
The U.S. Senate approved out gay attorney Michael Fitzgerald 91-6 to serve as a federal judge on the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California, making him the fourth out LGBT federal lifetime tenured judge in the country. President Obama nominated Fitzgerald in July of 2011.
In New Hampshire, the state house has rejected a bill that would allow wedding service providers to refuse same-sex couples. The House voted 246-85 to kill a measure that would allow those providers to do so on the basis of conscience or religious faith. A vote on a repeal of marriage equality is slated to come up later this month.
Orlando, Florida has become the first U.S. city to announce it will bid to host the 2018 Gay Games. Orlando is already known for hosting Gay Days, a series of events that culminates in a visit to Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
In Illinois, a young transgender woman has filed a federal lawsuit against the town of Cicero and two of its police officers, claiming she was discriminated against because of her gender identity. Bianca Feliciano, a Chicago resident, claims that two Cicero police officers singled her out for arrest because she is transgender and then continued to threaten and taunt her.
The City Council of Folly Beach, South Carolina, unanimously voted to pass a non-discrimination ordinance with protections based on sexual orientation. The council now becomes the fourth governing body in the state with such a measure.
In world news, St. Petersburg, Russia has officially banned gay propaganda after the St. Petersburg governor signed a bill March 11th. St. Petersburg is the fourth city in Russia to pass such a legislation.
The British government has launched a 12-week consultation on the possibility of legalizing same-sex marriage in England and Wales. Civil partnerships, introduced 7 years ago, give same-sex couples similar legal rights to married couples. However, the government wants same-sex couples to be legally allowed to take vows before the next general election in 2015.
The European Parliament has adopted a resolution on Nigeria that condemns the current legal threats to the country's LGBT citizens. Nigeria's same-gender marriage prohibition bill has been amended by the Senate to punish those in a same-sex union with 14 years imprisonment and anyone aiding or abetting such unions with 10 years behind bars. The Parliament's resolution calls for the abolition of current legislation criminalizing homosexuality.
U.S. ice cream business Ben & Jerry's is changing the name of one of its products flavors in support of marriage equality in the U.K. Oh My Apple Pie will become Apple-y Ever After, with tubs featuring a gay couple atop a wedding cake decorated with rainbows.
In entertainment news, former soap opera vixen Susan Lucci is co-starring in Mark Cherry's ABC pilot of Devious Maids. Devious Maids follows four ambitious maids who work in Beverly Hills. Lucci will play one of the maids' employers.
President Obama will deliver a special opening message that will introduce viewers to Speak Up, the original documentary from Cartoon Network that focuses on bullied kids and the youth who have helped them. The half-hour film will premiere commercial-free on March 18th at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with an 8 p.m. encore telecast.
Julian Fellowes, an Oscar-winning writer who is also the creator of the PBS series Downton Abbey, is writing the adaptation of Gypsy. Barbara Streisand and Joel Silver are producing the feature project, an adaptation of Stephen Sondheim and Arthur Lawrence's Tony-winning musical. Fellows won an Oscar for Gosford Park.
A new exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum looks at the works of the late gay artist Keith Haring. Keith Haring, 1978 to 1982, looks at his early career with a focus on graffiti improvisations, videos, journals, and even party flyers. The exhibit runs through July 8th.
The grandson of legendary actor Omar Sharif comes out as both gay and half-Jewish in the April issue of The Advocate. Sharif Jr. holds a master's degree in comparative politics from the London School of Economics.
Gillian Anderson, who played Agent Scully on the TV show X-Files, has revealed that she has had romantic relationships with women. "I was involved in a relationship with a girl for a long time when I was in high school," she said. Twice divorced and now partnered with Mark Griffiths since 2006, Anderson has a 17-year-old daughter and two young sons.
And the second printing of Blue Water Productions' Female Force Share comic book is sold out. A third printing is forthcoming with an alternate cover. New York Times bestselling author Mark Shapiro wrote the 32-page, $3.99 comic book, which is part of a series that has featured Madonna, Britney Spears, J.K. Rowling, Ellen DeGeneres, Olivia Newton-John, and others. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Only my eyes are the same.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 19th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Auditorium Theater presents Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, the most celebrated modern dance company in the world. April 11th through April 15th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Paula Poundstone returns to the North Shore Center for another fabulous, unforgettable performance. Taking some time off from NPR's quiz show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and as a guest on a Prairie Home Companion. Paula Poundstone, one performance only on Friday, March 30th at the North Shore Center in Skokie. For tickets, visit northshorecenter.org.
Main Stage presents Judy at Carnegie, a song-for-song recreation of Judy Garland's classic 1961 concert. The concert will be performed by Chicago's top cabaret vocalist. Don't miss Judy at Carnegie April 20th and 21st. Visit mainstage.com for tickets.
Broadway legends Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne are brought to life on stage in Northlight Theater's Ten Chimneys. This revealing new take on America's greatest acting duo in their renowned Wisconsin retreat is marvelously wry and witty, says KBAQ Phoenix, and sparkling, says the Milwaukee Journal. Tickets at northlight.org. Ten Chimneys is now playing at the Northlight Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Myself to sleep at night, but that was all before he came. I thought love had to hurt to turn out right, but now he's here, it's not the same, it's not the
So, Deb, we have not been on since in February. We lost the woman known as The Voice. I would say the voice of a generation, Whitney Houston. And were you a big Whitney Houston fan?
Absolutely, I was. I'd have to say more, you know, 80s, 90s.
Sure.
I was more into that because it was very clubby music, right? I mean, I don't know that any self-respecting person in the GLBTQ community can say that they haven't seen a drag queen do at least one Whitney Houston song in their
right.
career. So, yeah, absolutely. And just amazing. And certainly she remains in the background. She remained in the background for me. But when she got married and started having a family, there was something that slipped into the background for me. And then, of course, her pretty transparent drug use made
right.
her a little bit less, you know, popular, obviously. So I didn't wane on my like of her, but my opinion of her changed because I just wanted her to get help.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously, I remember getting the Whitney Houston album. Because it was an album.
For those of you kids out there, that's a really big CD.
Yeah, that orange album with her with the white flower behind her ear, I think.
Oh, God,
in
classic.
In front of the tropical, in the white dress, you know.
Yeah,
she was so beautiful, first of all, and that voice just extraordinary. I mean, really, I just remember that album and song after song after song being
hit after hit,
you know. And then so I remember going off to college and I was starting to come out late in college, and I remembered pretty soon after I came out and the whole lesbian chic thing was on the cover of Newsweek and Time, and you know, Katie Lang is being shaved by Cindy Crawford on the cover of Vanity Fair, and this whole like lesbian chic world was kind of coming to surface, you know, rumblings about Jodie Foster being gay.
Right.
I remembered very early on hearing that Whitney Houston was gay and was closeted. I remember specifically when she started seeing Bobby Brown, and, you know, I don't even know where we got that information back then, because there weren't gay radio shows, there weren't blogs, there wasn't the World Wide Web and, you know, at all. But remember hearing rumblings of like, she's gay. Remember hearing that Jodie Foster and Kelly McGillis got in a fight on the set of The Accused about Whitney Houston.
Bringing back some memories.
Right? So I just had this whole thing. And then when she got married, I remembered a joke that my first girlfriend, who was a very, very witty woman, when Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston announced that they were getting married, which it seemed kind of quick and vibrant and I don't know, because he was such a bad boy and she was Sissy Houston's sweet church girl.
Yep.
Pretty church girl. And I remember they said that the theme of the wedding was lavender in one of the papers or magazines. And I remember, you know, my first girlfriend, you know, would say it like that. She'd be like, the theme of the wedding is lavender. You know, I mean, obviously thus saying there was some sort of closet or beard or, you know, they were both gay or she was gay or whatever. But I remember from that moment on moving forward, I thought it was true. And I've heard that a lot of people are gay and sometimes I'm like, I don't know. But something about me felt that was a truth in my just deep, especially because of what happened pretty shortly after that. I mean, she had Waiting to Exhale and, you know, held it together, I think, for a few years. But very quickly after the baby was born, you know, I just feel like it just shifted. And knowing different people who have been closeted or have lived with that and you know, things arise, whether it's, you know, alcohol abuse or drug abuse or depression or eating disorders or, you know, because you're not living your authentic self. You know, there's something you are hiding. There is something,
that you need to be altered for. Yeah.
Right. Something that you need to be altered for. That's a very great way of saying it. And so, you know, I understand that that's not coming out of, you know, Oprah just did an interview on her network, which will be re-aired. So if you haven't seen it, it's interesting with her daughter and her sister-in-law and her brother. And of course, these questions are not going to come up there. But I fear that with her, I fear that whatever was going on, you know, with Michael Jackson, which might not have been his sexuality, I don't know. It could have been sexual abuse, as a young boy probably was, physical abuse or whatever. You know, that these people who, you know, never, because of being a celebrity, you never get to fully express and explore who you are and be okay with it because of the mirroring that's happening back at you of celebrity, you know?
Right. And it loses its authenticity when you're, you know, are you interested in me because of me? Are you interested in me because I'm Whitney Houston? Mm-hmm. And that exploratory stuff that we all go through when we're identifying with our sexuality that remains, you know, anonymous and kind of secretive and yours and private,
right?
And explorative, you know, all that stuff goes out the window because you can't do that.
Right.
And then culturally, there's a lot that goes on too, where sexuality is certainly not embraced.
Right. Right. Know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying, this is not me, I'm not trying to out her. I mean, you know, the rumors are out there, whatever they are, and I don't know. I never slept with her, so I don't know. But
well,
obviously,
unfortunately, I didn't either, and I don't know anyone that did, so there's no degrees of separation. But if you have, in fact,
yes,
in your sexual career, slept with Whitney Houston, please send an email.
Yes.
To...
yeah. But, you know, I do think it's really interesting because I've lost some other people who were around this age, you know, this generation above me, you know, somewhere between the Generation X and the boomers, you know, were these Reagan's kids, you know, were these kids that... you know, and I guess in a weird way, I'm a Reagan's kid, but at least in America, you know, this age between, I would say, you know, 45 and 50, you know, 45 and 55, which is where Michael Jackson fell, which is where Whitney Houston fell. It's really right before we've had we've had at least the, you know, the GLBT revolution kind of take foot. You know, that the Stonewall riots have had a little longer, you know, and where the HIV AIDS crisis also pushed the gay community to the forefront, to being a stronger community, a more unified community. You know, that age group that Whitney Houston fell in, that Michael Jackson fell in, is on the front end of that, you know, and I'm so grateful that I'm on the back end of that generation. Because I just think it's a difference that decade made.
Well, it became in the mid 80s, it became sort of in vogue to be bisexual. I mean, it was kind of, there was something about the music that came out, I think probably led by Boy George and Culture Club, and a little bit by Wham, right, and some gender ambiguity and that kind of thing. And I think not only was it cool, it was kind of safe to explore that idea.
Right.
And I have to say, what a difference a few years can make. In that, if you missed that, you know, you were part of the really closeted community before that kind of music came out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I agree. You know, I was really young when all of that came out. You know, I was like late elementary school, junior high, and somebody Whitney Houston's age would have been already in high school or you know, in mm-hmm. high school or on the back end of high school going into college. And I think you're so formed by them, right?
Yep.
And I you're absolutely right. I mean, the difference a handful of years makes. It doesn't mean there aren't out and proud people, if you're listening, you know, who are in your 50s and you know, who are 45. But I just think it took a different kind of spine and a different kind of self-esteem and maybe the opportunity to get out of a small town or, you know, and obviously we're seeing for celebrity and in Los Angeles, you know, they're usually so 10 years ahead of everybody in fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're on the front end of the curb, right? The West Coast, the East Coast. But in this arena, they're really behind the times where we still are waiting for celebrities to come out and how long it's taken celebrities to come out that we're really just seeing, you know, the Neil Patrick Harris's and the Portia de Rossi's, you know, I mean, of course, Ellen led the movement in kind of a really big way. But yeah, you know, it is interesting. It is sad. And but obviously, I think she is finally at peace. So, you know, that is at least
with
a blessing.
Bad news, you know, I mean, people do compare. You mentioned Michael Jackson a few times. People do compare. You know, where were you the day of? And I remember exactly where I was when I got the news that Michael Jackson died. And yeah. I'll never forget where I was when Whitney Houston died. And I was trying to compare those for some reason because they're both pop icons.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to compare the reaction to it. And with me, Michael Jackson, it was shocking and sad. And with Whitney Houston, it wasn't so shocking and really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't feel shocking because she was playing with fire for so many years.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it wasn't shocking to me. We were all backstage at Enron at the play that I'm doing.
Okay.
And you know, we were backstage and we were getting ready to do a show, and you know, somebody, one of our ushers or something, came in and said Whitney Houston just passed away. And so all throughout the show, we don't get a good signal, any of us on our deep in the bowels of a theater, we don't get a great signal. So we couldn't really find out, but I mean, nobody questioned that it was a lie, you know? And,
no.
And so it did unfortunately feel like an inevitable thing. It feels interesting that her family didn't so immediately say we felt like it was inevitable. Whereas I think with Michael Jackson's family, some of them have said, you know, we definitely thought that phone call could come, you know, at
yeah.
some point. So,
yeah.
So it is a sad, sad thing. You know, another story that's going on currently, and this is happening as we interview this, is this big push for this documentary film. Harvey Weinstein has been really aggressive about this, as he is about most things when he champions a film of his, but documentary film called Bully. Mm-hmm. That the MPAA has given an R rating, and so many people are coming out and saying it needs to be a lower rating so that the kids who this is a targeted film for, who are dealing with bullying or may be bullies themselves need to see. They're trying to get it to go to a lower rating. So there's all these signatures on this petition. Everyone from Ellen DeGeneres has lent her name, 20 members of Congress. Meryl Streep just added her name to the petition, you know, to get this to a lower rating. I will say, as you were saying earlier in the show, Deb Pierce, that you were hoping for your Canada, you were hoping that Canada was warmer and better than we are in the States. Canada has given this a PG rating, this same film, which does make Canada better. You know, how has Canada been dealing, and how topical has the story of bullying and It Gets Better campaign and things like that been in your country?
It's huge. Of course, starting with Dan Savage in the States, we took the name It Gets Better, and I had the privilege of being one of a number of Canadians that might be visible, you know, by video. At least people see my face if they don't know my name because they see me on TV. But I did do the It Gets Better Canada, the official video here. Mm-hmm. And very quickly after I did It Gets Better, I kind of started to grow slightly resentful of the inferred wait and It Gets Better. And now my now I say It Gets Better when we make it better, because I actually resent the fact that people have to wait. So I like the sentiment. I like the idea. I don't want kids to have to wait, because that there's an acceptance to bullying in there. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of have to breathe and wait to exhale when you get out of high school. And that's not okay with anybody. That there's no accountability for me with that. Mm-hmm. To curb violence. And that's really frustrating to me. So we talk about bullying a lot. There's been, unfortunately, a rash of suicides here in Canada as well, in Canada's capital, Ottawa. And he had left a note saying, literally, and quoting, "I can't wait for it to get better." And I did about 8 interviews with CBC Canada Radio, all through from Vancouver on the west coast to Montreal on the east coast here, and St. John's, actually, in the Maritimes. And I talked about how a child using our words of "it gets better" or the inference of it in his suicide note was so impactful that it kicked us more into gear to do more anti-bullying and start more gay straight alliances in high schools, and that's really the hot button topic now, because you sort of, bullies are not born, they're created. And I think in high school we really need to, and even earlier, we need to nip it in the bud to stop those kids from letting their words hurt and letting their words be okay, and get to the bully before the bully can get to you. Why are you bullying? What's happening at home? Are you empowering yourself by being a bully? Are you deflecting your own sexuality? There's so many reasons for it that I think it's really important that a film like this come out. And we, if we have to lead the way to make it PG-13 instead of R rating, then we will. But what are people afraid of that keeps it, you know, that the Motion Picture Association keeps it an R rating? What are they afraid of that no one under 17 is allowed to see it? What are they hiding there? I don't understand the tactic there. I don't know if anybody could really, if we held their feet to the fire, I don't really think anybody would have a really good reason for people under 17 not seeing that within reason of age.
Yeah. Well, it's just so surprising the things we don't care that our young people see.
Right.
The, you know, the video games and the violence and the shooting and, you know, women being attacked and, you know, the things that we don't care about. But then when we talk about sexuality, if it's consensual or if it's anything to mention, you know, homosexuality, we are just so horrified. And yet images of war are totally fine for young people to see. And you know, we're so terrified of expressions of love and intimacy. And I don't know. I believe that has to do with the patriarchy, and I will become a huge feminist just within a snap of a finger, which is so funny, which I am, but I don't often through that lens, you know, use that platform here, but I definitely feel that, you know, a lot of what's going on, even in my state of Tennessee, and some other states where they don't even want the word gay to be said, you know, in elementary schools and middle schools. Well, you know, if we don't let people who are administrators and teachers say the word gay, who could be responsible with the language. You know, we are naive if we think in this day and age with communication and television, the internet, that, you know, kids aren't using the word gay and probably inappropriately.
I've lost you.
You know, calling people a faggot or calling people gay, that, you know, is definitely something that young kids do. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I think that it's offensive that kids
well,
are
I think
allowed to
anything,
see so many violent
you know,
images.
Anything that brings up the discussion around change and anything that brings discussion up around homosexuality is a chance for us and our allies to be heard. And I think it does take situations like this, like the film Bully, to bring up the dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's never bad dialogue when our voice is being heard. And even if that means that we're outraged and we can't even believe that our basic human right of being heard is being impacted, then I think it's not a terrible... I mean, it's frustrating to have the door slammed on you, but it also means that you can still stand at that door and keep trying to pound it down. And I like that our voice is being heard. And, under 300,000 strong just for signatures of this petition.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize it was so many already. That's great. Well,
yeah, 297,088.
Well, this is how change happens and in incremental ways, you know, us lending our voices, helps that happen. And I think we feel very powerless as individuals. But what I know, even on a civic level, is, you know, if you contact your congressman, if you contact your, your neighborhood.
See, I hate that word, too, if we can just talk about
congresswoman.
Congresswoman,
congressman, congressperson.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It is. But if you contact people, you know, they all often I have had people in political positions say, you know, it really only takes a handful of people for it to do something to turn your
yep.
head. So a handful of people is not a lot, even if something's nope. going on in your neighborhood, in your community, in your city, you know, let alone on a state or national level. So almost 300,000 signatures, that is significant as we head
it
into.
It is significant.
It would be great to have that film get the power it needs and the rating that it needs in time for Gay Pride. So
that would be great.
In time for the summer. So, Deb, I know you yep. have baby things to do today, so we appreciate you popping in, and we hope that you will come back maybe even next month, and we can continue our connection with our brothers and sisters to the north. But
yes,
we are
please.
Glad
Lots
that you are
of
having...
Stuff to talk.
Yeah.
Next time we talk, I want to talk about the Inspire Awards, which are a brand new, in its second year of awards, nominating and celebrating movers and shakers that make a difference in our community here.
Oh, is this in Canada?
Yep.
And where do people get information on that?
InspireAwards.ca.
Oh, InspireAwards.ca. Well, we will definitely talk about that next time, and people go do your research so you'll know what we're talking about when Deb is on with us in April. Deb Pierce, I love you.
I love you. It's so great to be back, and I can't believe that I'm back to being like a queer identified adult and not just the cow at home that my child relies on for sustenance. This feels good.
That's hot. That's really hot. I like it. Moms are hot.
Thank
you. You join a whole new category now, right?
Oh, I just want my butch cred back. It makes, you know what? We're going to hang up and I'm going to go work out and do something. But I'm going to go roll my own. No, I'm not going to say that.
We'll give you your butch cred back already. You already have it because
you get to be
the butch Amy Matheny, you know, whenever you're in on a Windy City Queercast event.
That's true, isn't it?
It is true. You're just the other half of me. You're yin to my yang.
I like it.
I like it too. It's good to have you back, Deb Pierce. Give a
good
squeeze
to
baby Jack.
Thanks, Amy. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Everybody, enjoy your week in this gorgeous weather, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.